Okay, Paul. Is that Paul from Twin Cities?
Yes, Dig. I'm so happy to speak with you in person, and thank you for doing this teleseminar.
Well, thank you, and I hear you loud and clear, like you were sitting right next to me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm a Tai Chi and martial arts instructor, and I've done breath work in my martial arts practice and Tai Chi practice, and I've never done any breath work that involves holding the breath in those practices. And so I was very interested in the breathology program and to try to start to do some breath holding. And I was kind of surprised, given my background, that I wasn't able to hold my breath very long the first time I tried. It was really only about a minute. Once I watched the session you did with Pear, I did more than double my breath time, but it was like 2 minutes, 15 seconds, something like that. And I continue to do the exercises and to work on the breath holding. And so that's exciting. And it just makes you feel so good to hold the breath. I don't really know why. My question is coming from an observation about you, which is, you know, you garner so much attention with your world records, and they're impressive, and it's easy to just kind of fixate on those amazing feats. But I've observed there's kind of an underlying ability you have to reject other people's limiting beliefs, which seems to then free you to work on and dissolve your own limiting beliefs, which you've seemed to have done so well. And I'm really curious about this mental aspect that you seem to have mastered so well, just overcoming these limiting beliefs from others and those from yourself, and especially in the face of, you know, adversity and this stress. This is really what I have encountered, I think, in my own kind of inability to hold my breath for very long, just this, you know, this distress and just overcoming this kind of limiting belief. You're a scientist and you must have all these science people telling you you can't hold your breath more than 5 minutes, you can't, you know, swim under the ice, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you've just seemed to have ignored them. Can you speak to the mental aspect that you've been able to master so well?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul, and thank you. I think that's one of the possibly deepest questions, to use a free diving term. Really a deep question, and you know, I love these teleseminars more and more for each time. You know, about a month ago was the first one, and I absolutely also plan to start more webinars and stuff, because okay, yes. To your question. First of all, thank you. I really appreciate that you raised this question, in the sense that, you know, you can easily get absorbed. Oh, he has this world record, 22 minutes, Guinness World Record diving under ice. But I really appreciate you see past that, because, you know, I'm not a superhuman. I was dubbed the ultimate superhuman when I won the superhuman program and Discovery Channel, and I've been dubbed many things, but I truly believe we all have superhuman capacities, and the most important way to prove this is, of course, to not get stuck in the normal world and the limiting beliefs that so many people are so busy telling you in anything in life. And yes, I'm a scientist, and of course, people have told me over and over again, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, and that's like the biggest petrol they can put on my fire, you know, because then I get really, like, anxious to, hey, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong. So a lot of things you see in the world, not just speaking from my platform of breath holding, but a lot of wonderful things or incredible features you see is actually people that have struggled with things or with themselves, and then they kind of find that freedom, or that they give themselves permission to do what they really believe or feel in their hearts they can do. And and then when you start to move into the psychology and the subconscious mind, and as I mentioned briefly before, the state of flow, and and start to work on these levels in your brain and letting those different areas open as they do so well in breath holding, why it's also, like you say, you feel so good, you don't know why, there are many, many reasons why, and that's also why I want to do the breath holding and make it a part of the Breathology Academy and the Breathing Mastery, and that's also why I advocate breath holding and breathology in general, because there are so many important benefits, and what you actually tap into are all the ancient kind of secret and sacred rituals from pranayama and from yoga and from other traditions, not just the Eastern philosophy of yoga and Tai Chi and Zen Buddhism, all this that you know so well from martial arts, from Japan and China and India, but actually from all the different cultures we have seen, from the Aztecs, from South America, from Central America, from Africa, from all cultures around the world that listen to themselves and work with the body and the mind. I think to answer your question, you know, it's kind of difficult in the sense that I don't know, there's not like one short question to peak performance or to amazing performance, but I think that breath holding is absolutely one of the best teachers because, in my humble opinion, breath holding is the biggest or the fastest way to self-management. You know, I work with a lot of CEOs in really fancy companies and banks and all this and that, and when I work with these people, you know, I work with breath holding because mm-hmm. I've been to a million seminars learning about do this and goal setting and do this and do that and eat this and eat that, and that's all fine. But when it comes down to it, you know, what is the most the biggest challenge you can put yourself in life? That is, of course, not breathing. Going against the reflex of life, going against, you know, the fear of dying, going against the fear of not taking that breath again, and that's why when you do it on land and then further down the road do it in water with a certified instructor, you gain so many benefits, and it's a completely different universe that opens once you see that light coming through and you see your brain working in a different way. Of course, we've done a lot of studies on my brain and also on other athletes, and we have seen that when you do breath holding and enter the alpha state, not only does the brain fire up in different areas, but it also actually allows you to tap into things that you don't normally tap into, so you become more intuitive, you become more intelligent. So if people don't feel they're very intuitive, you can absolutely train that. You can train to become more intuitive and empathetic about people around you, and you can tap into this, you know, universal knowledge and sense that about other people, about things that are going to happen. I'm very intuitive, and unfortunately, sometimes or most times, most often, that is when it's something negative or something that's not very positive that resonates with me, and I pick up on that. I know something bad is going to happen. It's kind of good to know so you can prepare for it, but it's not always nice. So I think that to answer your question, I actually have to look at my childhood and the way I was brought up with very free parents. You know, we had limits, and I was brought up kind of in a strict, normal, you know, loving family, but always supporting me. Always when I said something, I wanted to do that, or I wanted to travel around the world, or I wanted to go to New Zealand as a teenager, they always supported whatever crazy thing I had in my mind. And when I wanted to dive under ice, they absolutely did not like the idea, but they supported it. When I said I want to be the first person in the world to hold my breath for 20 minutes, I can tell everyone listening that my mom was far from thrilled, but she still supported me in the sense that she supported the dream that I had. So, and I've had wonderful friends and my girlfriend at that time as well, that was a very important part in all this journey, because nobody out in the world doing great things can do it alone. You can never do anything alone. So when you see the performance swimming under ice or holding my breath for more than 20 minutes, that's just a short metaphor of all the hard work and years of training behind it, and of all the support and love from people. And it might even sound a little bit too kind of romantic, but it is truly one of my strongest driving forces is love, you know, that strength in your heart, that support that is just unparalleled by whatever training scheme or whatever diet you have. You know, it is second to none when you have that gasoline of love and support from people around you. And other people now listening today maybe think I'm this great athlete and I'm on Discovery Channel and Nat Geo and, you know, History Channel, all these big programs. And yes, I am. And that's been a long, long fight, 15 years of working, making smaller programs and more and more and more. Suddenly you reach, you know, a breaking point or you reach a critical mass and then it spins, you know, and it goes the other way. Then people try to reach out for you. And that's also why I'm very hard to get a hold of. And that's why I do this teleseminar, so people can give their feedback and we can speak, you know, one-on-one, because I love this dialogue. But I get thousands of people reaching out every month, and obviously I don't have time to speak with thousands of people, even though I'd love to help and I love to get feedback and learn from other people. But when you see all that, you know, all the programs and all this and that, it is actually just my way of expressing, you know, a peak performance, showing, yes, it is possible. So every time I do a new world record, it's actually what I call a project. You know, I need a project in my life like everybody else. And, you know, everyone needs a project. You know, we all need something to live for and to be passionate about and to look forward to get us out of bed and to fire us up and just have us going. And for me, it's just been breath holding. And the more I've been told you cannot hold your breath for that long and it's going to kill you, you know, I'm not the first one doing this. You know, already in the 60s, Enzo Mallorca, who some people might know this name or recognize it from the movie The Big Blue, he was told that he would be crushed. He would die if he went below 200 feet, because the physiology tells you when you go below residual volume, then you will, you know, you will get squeezed like a submarine. But he did it, you know, contrary to what all scientists told him, and he survived. So he was walking the path before me, and now I'm just trying to show people that you should not be limited by other people's beliefs, because maybe the best advice I can give you, and not that I want to sit here and kind of give advice like this, I'm this big mentor or guru, but my biggest advice to anybody listening out there is that if somebody tells you it can't be done, you can be absolutely sure that it has not been done by them, right?
Right.
So that's like the green card for you to go, hey, well, I better do it then, because since you're speaking and spending so much time speaking about how difficult it is and why it can't be done, why don't I just, you know, put my ass into gear and get some work done, and then I'll show you down the line that it could be done. So I think most often people just have a very busy time talking about everything that can't be done.
Yes.
Because they don't want to put in the work. And also because they don't have the mindset of actually getting rid of these limits around them. You know, I also have a very different life. I traveled around the world all the time. I'm here and there. Next week I'm skiing in Austria. The week after I'm in Spain. The week after I'm in the Bahamas for a few weeks working on a new scientific program. You know, it's a very different life. I'm not saying it's better or worse than anybody else, but it's a very difficult life at times because you're never at home. You're always in a hotel. You're always on the move. It sounds exotic to many people. If they follow me on Facebook or something, they probably think I'm just swimming with dolphins every day. But they don't see that I'm sitting up like now, you know, till about midnight and working on my computer. So I'm not trying to be a crybaby. I'm just saying I'm not the guy posting all the negative things. Oh, I had another one full, you know, all-nighter, you know, working till 6 a.m. in the morning. Oh, I have to do all this. Oh, I have to do all that. You know, I don't like to talk about these negative emotions and complaints, because that's not going to bring anything positive into the world and not to other people's world, and especially not to my world. So I like to focus on the positive. And I don't know how I learned about these breaking these limiting beliefs, but I appreciate you bringing this up, because, of course, this is the underlying importance of this whole Breathology Academy training course. It's not just to hold your breath longer and to become a better, you know, breather in your everyday life and get close to 100% of your maximum capacity. It's actually going deeper, you know, going to the physical level, then going to the physiological, neurological, and anatomical level, and then after that, going to the spiritual level, which is, you know, love is spiritual. You cannot measure it. You cannot, you know, put a number on it. So going to that spiritual level is what binds us all together and what is really fueling our lives. And I know Pierre wants to get much more into Pierre Bristow. If somebody is not familiar with the great work of Pierre Bristow, he's not only a voice coach and performance coach, he's also, you know, going more and more into lectures and how people can get their voice into the world, not just as a singer, but actually sharing their message. So how can you become a better speaker, a better performer on stage? How can you move and touch people? He's going into that segment now. So I'm sure Per will address this question about peak performance and how you break down limiting beliefs. And I can tell you, Paul, on a personal note here, I know people are listening, but that's actually one of the reasons why Per and I clicked so well and how we met. I admired what he did, and I thought it was wonderful, all his skills and all his technical knowledge, but he admired the ability I had of breaking limits, and he liked that I kind of showed it in action with my records, because every record I do, as I said, is a demonstration for other people, not that they have to follow and do, you know, 20 minutes breath holds to dive under ice. I don't recommend anybody doing that, in fact. I just want to show people that that's possible for me, so anything else in your life is possible for you. So I hope just to inspire people. So I'm sure that down the line, Per will address this at some point. And I don't really know what to tell you other than it's a great question, and I haven't figured it out myself, but I think it's about being positive in your attitude. And the breath holding, for one, is a good way to get into that intuitive tune with yourself. So now you do 1 minute, and then after watching the video with Per, you did 2:15. I think that's marvelous. You already doubled your performance. And I have no doubt you can go to 3 or even 4 minutes. And you know, again, I don't like putting numbers on it, because now I said 3 minutes and 4 minutes, so that creates a limit in your mind. That creates a framework, right? You go, oh, Steve told me I can probably do 3 minutes or 4 minutes, and you will do this, you know, within this week, I'm sure. You know, on the weekend you'll try and you'll go past 3 minutes. Because you feel safe and you know that nothing's going to happen, especially when you do it on land. But then again, if I had said 7 minutes, you had another framework around you. So maybe that's a good way to end, you know, this important question. You know that do not put numbers on yourself. Do not put an amount of money that you want to earn in your business on yourself. You know, I never did a spreadsheet in my life. I never did any, what do you call that? I'm not even joking now. I'm looking for the word here. I never did any budget. You know, I don't look at budgets. You know, I'm not a guy that looks at budgets. I never looked at a budget. I never looked at a business budget. I have different businesses around the world. I never looked at a budget because why would I look at a budget? I would, you know, misuse my time. You know, I would waste time looking at a budget. I you know, I'm going to put everything into that program I'm making, or that, you know, commitment. So why look at a budget? That's already putting a restraint on you. I'm not saying go and blow, you know, $2 million from the bank. You know, I never had a loan in my life. I'm just saying I'm not interested in budgets or those numbers, because that's a limit in itself. And I don't believe in that. I believe in success in the sense that you will be successful when you put enough energy and put enough love and put enough work into it. It's just a matter of when. You know, it's not a matter of will it be a success? No, everyone can be successful if you push on and believe in it. But there's a lot of defeats, and that's maybe more important. How do you get through the defeat? How do you raise yourself again? You know, how do you stay in the fight, so to speak? So maybe we should address that in the next call in a month or so when I'm in Spain, and I can think about it a bit more, and you can maybe ask that question on a deeper level. So we maybe talk about how do we get through the different hurdles. But I also talk about this in my book, in case you didn't read the Breathology book. I talk about the mental approach. I talk about the psychology. I talk a lot about that, because I know that the mountain of pain, as I call it, is difficult to climb. But once you reach that, you know, peak of the mountain, it's just a beautiful sunrise, and everything becomes easier from there. So maybe you want to study that mountain of pain that I discuss in my book. But have a question ready next time, and we can go deeper into this interesting discussion on peak performance and limiting beliefs and breaking those limits from other people.
I just ordered the book. That was a great and inspired answer, and I thank you for all that you do, Stig. You're helping a lot of people, including me.
Well, thank you so much for that kind feedback, and we will speak next time, Paul, and good luck on the breath holding.
Thank you so much, Stig. Goodbye.
Goodbye.